The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Hour number two. From Steven, the show has so many inside
good spree.
Inside jokes, it should be illegal. Love you guys, Steven.
Turkey sausage!
What's he talking about?
I don't know. Dave, what level of level of royal match are you on? Honestly, this could be ugly. Let me see here.
I was into this game like a long time ago, and I'm not anymore. I wonder how.
Okay, well, let me.
That song.
Let me give
and
you
then a, I just started.
Oh, you did?
Sorry. Well, I started a few months ago.
I apologize. Now, let me throw a caveat. I got to the point where it got so hard.
You purchased things.
No. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Here's my thought process. I buy video games. You know, there's some weird thing on the internet.
Have you overspent for a regular video game?
No, but, you know, a retail video game will be like 50, 60 bucks.
You haven't spent that yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I would say this. I have played on this. You know, when it comes to the internet, people get weird. Like, they'll pay 15 bucks or 20 bucks for Netflix and all this stuff they may or may not use. It just recurs all the time. But, like, I'm not paying a dollar for the paper. Well, okay. I mean, it's whatever. I get it. There's something about paying for things on the internet that you think should be free. It's a stigma. So I'm sitting here and it's like, I'm almost done with this level, but I need some hammers. It's
$1.99.
It's $1.99 and I get four hammers, two cannons, and 1,000 gold coins. I need this. And I'm playing it a lot. So I would say I've gotten far more. This is a bargain compared to some of the video. Oh, I don't like that level. I'm done with this video game.
So what level are you on?
Okay, so keep in mind before I tell you.
Is that four digits?
This is an important note. It got to the point where it got so hard, I was like, this just isn't fun anymore. I just keep having every level I have to use a power-up, and then I got to buy or earn the power. This is garbage. So I went online, and I went into a Royal Match message board.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found out that there's a contact us where they have to, if you send them a note through there, I know, it's so pathetic. If you send them a note and you say, please delete my account, within 2 to 3 days, they will delete your account. And then you can start all over at the beginning, but with the skills you already have, you lose all your stuff. And I was pretty much done anyways. You start with a new account. And man, let me tell you, you remember when, the big unkempt bush was in Edward Scissorhands? And he first showed off his skills, which was
this is light work.
That's how I was with the Royal Match.
So are you just accruing all these amazing prizes along the way?
Dude, I saved up everything. So at one point, I had like 65,000 gold coins, all the power-ups. But now, anyways, so keep in mind.
So you're on round two.
I'm on round two, and I reset it about a month and a half ago. So what level do you...
So reset
about
a month and
ago,
a half.
Maybe a month.
But with knowledge previous, I'm going to say you're at 420.
Level 420?
Yeah. No, okay. Days in the thousands.
No, dude.
Really?
In a month?
Oh, you did it a month ago.
A
I thought
month
you said
ago.
2 months ago.
Jeez, I'm not living on this thing. So 420.
Yeah.
I'll say 666.
Oh, my gosh. Chris.
What is it?
I was not far off. If you add 70 and then put another one in front, 1490.
The level 1490. That was almost at 2,000.
You're
before.
Right. You don't live on it. You're in it.
I so live on it.
You're in it.
And here's the problem. Not only do I live on it, but I find myself going, this is real. We'll talk
real sports. This is real talk.
Well, it's either this or the Houston Conference play.
Okay. Or the Jazz.
Like, I find my, this is bad. It's really bad for my health.
Is
because
it?
I'm still a smoker. Mm-hmm. And I find myself, like, it's like, I wake up from my nap. Maybe it's like 1:30.
Hi, kids.
No, they're not.
I need a minute. They're Royal match time.
They're not home from school yet.
Okay.
They get home from school around 3:30. So I go outside.
You lock the door.
I go into my little gazebo. I start playing. Light one up. Open up a pack. Light one up. Playing Royal match, right? I get on this roll. Next thing you know, the kid's like, hey, Dad, what's going on? It's 2.5 hours later. I got four cigarettes left, and I'm shaking.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, my God, I got the – but you know what? I won the King's Cup, man.
Yes.
Which is what it's called. I won the prize. I got through to the volcano.
Is that where you were in the third quarter of the Kings game?
No, it's fun. I will tell you – well, sort of, but no, I wasn't playing Royal match, but I was, however – I left and went.
You're buying hammers.
I watched. That sounds like a euphemism, but I was I was watching the third quarter with Katie
from afar.
Yeah, on our little phones. Anyway, so bottom line is this: I need a new game.
You're not done. How many levels does it go to?
I don't know. I think it goes to forever.
Oh, are you going to reset again?
100%. I'm getting ready. Not yet, but I think I'm going to get to 2,000.
What did you get to last time?
I got to, what did I get to last time? 1670. I think I'm gonna push for 2K. Because this time I saved everything up.
Royal Match 2K?
Royal Match 2K, and then I'm done. Anyways. Welcome
You're
back.
Done with the fish. Fishies are done?
Because my old jackpot gambling game, it just sucks now. I peek in every once in a while. They're like, hey, you haven't been here in a while. Here's a billion coins. And I go, sweet. And I, six spins. Oh, you're out of coins. Buy some for $5.99. Like, yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but twice.
Yeah, I'll go back to Royal Match and buy hammers.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, Jimmy Butler's going to have a lot of time to play Royal Match.
Chris, we need to come up with a game on an app for Dave.
Somebody give me, you know, I don't want the Candy Crush and all. I've done that. And this is kind of like a bastardized Candy Crush. But I do need something else. I'm not trying to do something where I have to, like, talk to other people and build teams. I don't want to do that strategy crap where I'm defending a castle.
Yeah.
No, give me something where I could just, like, you know, just a brain death.
Okay.
Just a slow rotting of the brain as I, you know, like this trip to New Orleans.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Jason and I play dominoes.
Yeah.
I just remembered something. I'm just going to bring it, and then we'll move on. I will neither confirm or deny, because I didn't know you could reset your account for like before I researched it, so I couldn't, like, I was stuck on my phone. I will not confirm or deny that on Amazon Prime Day, I will not confirm or deny that I actually purchased one of their little tablets for $20 specifically because it's an Amazon account, so I could have a tablet with a reset Royal Match game for when I get on an airplane. And I think I will bring that with me again if I had it on the trip tomorrow. Shut up, Chris. I actually have a Royal Match tablet.
The Royal Tablet.
It's all I use it for.
You got a tablet. So you can
don't
play
touch the tablet.
A mobile game.
It's a bigger screen. And I got to start at the beginning with a new account because I didn't know it was possible. It was like $20 on Prime Day. I was like, hey, I could use this for other things. There's so much room for activities now.
I could play so much Royal Match.
Sixers 105, Heat 104. And it 105, 104, but there was like a Tyler Hero hit a three like at the very, very end. At first, I thought.
A good comeback.
Very good comeback by the 76ers, who outscored the Heat 66-53 in the second half. They went into the half, obviously, down a little bit. Joel Embiid is back. You know what? Joel Embiid, and he had his game was, look.
Yeah, he didn't look right.
That's what I'm saying, right? He doesn't look 23-15, 5 assists, no blocks, 3 turnovers.
He wasn't moving that great to me.
That's what I'm saying, man. He does not look. He looks those are great. Those are fine numbers.
That's a gift that, you know, it's like we've done that with Sabonis. Like, yeah, he wasn't very good. And someone who didn't see the game, he had 18,
right.
14, and 6. It's like, yeah, but he wouldn't.
He doesn't look like he looks like 80% maybe of Joel Embiid. And That may not. I don't know why. I'm really excited for the Sixers next matchup.
That should be fun.
Then you got the Hawks and the Bulls. Hey, remember when some of you were upset when the Bulls came in and beat the Kings at Golden 1 Center? 131-116 is your final. And the Hawks are Dunsky.
Yeah.
There's got to be a conversation. By the way, maybe the Hawks need another draft pick. I know who can help them.
Yeah.
Also, there's going to be some interesting conversations, I think, about Trae Young in the offseason. Like, I read this earlier. You know, he's been in the league now, what, six seasons, something like that? Never had an all-star on his team.
That played with him, though. DeJounte Murray was an all-star, which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been one.
I will maintain again, if there is a way for Monty to add DeJounte Murray to this team, like, I do really feel like, you know, we talk about, like, Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. Not Miles Bridges. Mikal Bridges. And a few other dream candidates, right? Who's going to be the Aaron Gordon ad, if you will? I just feel like DeJounte Murray is a guy that might, that might be grabbable.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a 6'5", two guard who's 27, who averaged 22.5 points, 6.5 assists, 5.3 boards, who plays, or at least when he was with the Spurs, played good defense, like very above average, not Keon Ellis quality, but you'd definitely have a defensive upgrade from Herter there. I love the idea of a Fox Murray backcourt. I really do. Fox DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
And then I don't
know. Would we do that? Would Moke go DeJounte
Murray? I don't feel like it fits.
Okay.
And then I still feel like Keegan is movable, 3 or 4.
Oh, I was like,
No.
Dave wants to trade Keegan.
I feel like he could play the 3 or the 4.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know if now you're getting really, if you tried to go like Fox, Ellis, Murray, Keegan, Sabonis, that would be an awfully small team.
Yeah.
And you're asking a guy who's not exactly, I'm looking at Murray right now, by the way. Here's another thing. He's also locked up for another 4 years.
Yeah, he just signed.
25, 27, 29, and a player option for 31, which I know.
That's not terrible.
I don't think that is for a guy of his caliber, and you'd have him locked up. That would match everything the Kings have going on. That would match Sabonis and Fox, all those guys being locked up. You now have a three-person core completely locked in. If you're I don't know if this is possible, but I think if you were able to grab a guy like DeJounte Murray and you didn't have to give up Fox, Keegan, or Sabonis, which might be dreamland, but if you have the ability to do that with like a, especially if the Hawks are looking to build, you know, and you just throw them a bunch of picks and Barnes and whatever. Anyways, Jason, before we break, is it just me or were the East games a lot more boring?
Well, I mean, the Sixer game ended up being pretty good, but it's just I think we're so invested in the West and the Kings, certainly, right? In the first game, Lakers and Pelicans came right down to the end, and there was intrigue because, hey, if the Kings win tonight, are they going to the Lakers? Are they going to New Orleans? So that was intriguing. And then, of course, I mean, you could argue at the end the Kings game wasn't competitive at the very end, but we didn't care. Because we were on the right side of that.
That's exactly right.
So you just enjoy it as a fan watching that result for Kings fans.
1 minute break. When we come back, 3 for Madness. How much does Zion being out boost your confidence for tomorrow? Plus 2 more questions right here on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
3 questions, 3 answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question 1.
All right, Kelly Brothers coming up in 13 minutes.
Good at business.
He is good at business. We'll talk gambling and sports, as we've seen with Michael Porter's brother, Jonte. The money that Scottie Scheffler has made has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what about his caddy?
Yeah, helps and, others, right?
Yeah. See if we can get Caitlin Clark and the A's in there as well. Three for Madness. Chris or Law, question 1.
How much does Zion being out boost your confidence for tomorrow?
I It boosts it a little, yet I still am old enough to remember when they beat the holy heck out of us without.
Yeah.
They still have Jose Alvarado, who's a pest. They still obviously have Herb Jones, and then, of course, CJ McCollum, who kills us every time he plays us, it seems. Jonas Valanciunas and Sabonis seem to cancel each other out, and that's a win for them. I'm really honestly, Zion's out. Oh, you and I were talking on the phone yesterday, Jason. I'm really obsessed with Brandon Ingram. I think that's the thing we're not talking about enough. He came back from injury, I think, in game 80 after missing a while. And he played in their loss to the Lakers, but yet sat the entire, most if not the entire fourth quarter. When you look at his, and again, this is a guy that, again, he missed the last Pelicans game with the Kings at Golden 1 Center, but Zion played and had a wonderful game. Ingram had 11 points in 25 minutes to go with 4 boards and 4 assists on 4 of 12. That is very un-Brandon Ingram-like. Yeah. What really threw me, though, was the fact that they sat him so much through the fourth. Just doesn't strike me as the type of player where they're just going to sit him.
Yeah, and then he didn't talk.
And then again, he didn't talk.
I'm sure no one's thrilled, but like it's tough not to read into that.
When you look at his last game, in fact, it was actually they played the Lakers Sunday. That was his first game back since March 21st, so he actually played in game 81. He had 13 points in 23 minutes. Now, that probably was like, hey, first game back, let's be – but now they've played the Lakers twice in 2 very meaningful games, and Brandon Ingram's been off in both. If they're missing Zion and Ingram – it's still Herb Jones, Valanciunas, CJ McCollum, Alvarado, and friends. Trey Murphy. It's a very good team, but then now we're talking a little bit.
Yeah, I think you know I was really trying to figure out why is this matchup been so difficult, Dave. I think the best answer I could come up with is this is one of the few teams that I know of in the league that has kind of an answer for both Sabonis and Fox. There's some that like, man, Sabonis has trouble against this guy. But De'Aaron gets loose. Like the Lakers, there would be an argument. AD, I know Sabonis has never lost to him.
Right.
But that's an all-conference defender.
Yes.
Lakers can't guard guards. Like Fox and Monk and Hurd, everybody was having good games against them. Also, Sabonis ended up doing okay. Or conversely, man, that team really has a lot of people that could guard Fox. But Sabonis gets loose. This is the one that I think between what Valanciunas has done and Herb Jones / Murphy / you know Alvarado. See, I don't know. They just have a lot of length, and then the pest type guys that have done a good job on both of those two. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what one of the factors is. But then you go back to the last game they just played against the Pelicans here, and the Kings were playing okay with them. But when it really got down to it, then they went to Zion.
Yeah,
and you're like Harrison tried, Lyles tried. No, I think the one that did the best was Len, but
yeah.
Like, he was a bully, and they couldn't stop him. So it doesn't make me think King has got this, but I do think it is helpful that he is out. I do.
Zion is out. Ingram might be off. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I completely forgot towards the end of that game, Jose Alvarado actually sprained that ankle. So, you know, maybe a few days off helps him.
Right.
But You just don't know, and that's an ankle that's given him issues in the past, too. So, not that we're rooting for injury. Well,
of course not. No, I mean, this stinks for Zion. It does, but
I'm not rooting for the injuries, but I'm
if it helps the Kings get through, that's what it's about.
I'm not going to look at if they win. I'm not going to be like, well.
No asterisk. You earned it. Yeah.
All right, cut number 2, please.
Question 2.
7-game series versus the Pels or 7-game series versus the 1-seed Thunder? What's your preference?
So, like, the fact that this seems like such an incredibly easy question to me gives me pause, which is why I wrote it down, because I see that question and I go, 100% the Thunder.
Which is odd because it's the 1-seed.
And they're the 1-seed.
Yeah, now, but I'm with you.
That's in no way saying that would be a cakewalk or that the Kings wouldn't even be favored in that series, I don't think. But after what we've saw against the Pelicans, I'd far rather take my chances against OKC.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that lays out better. I think it's a better matchup. Yeah. And then this is a little bit reminding the Pelicans game of what the Warriors were. Like, I think my stance the other day, Dave, was when the Kings were playing the Warriors were playing better. They've been there. They're the healthier team. If that game's played 10 times, I think the Warriors win 7.
Yeah.
It's played once. So in this case, obviously they've already played five. The Pelicans have won five. They've been better than the Kings this year when they played each other. They just have to beat them once. And I like that better than, whereas if they get to the Thunder, they're 2-2, but they've played them better. Yep. Could have won the third one, probably
yep.
should have.
Yep.
So I would rather see them in a seven-game series with the Thunder.
Well, if the Kings win on Friday, you'll get your chance.
Yes.
They will do that. Cut number three.
Question three.
If the Kings were to lose tomorrow, is the season still a disappointment?
That's tough. Says the guy that wrote this question 5 hours ago and has had all this time to think about it. It really is. Like, would it be a disappointment? And I know last week, I think I definitely would have landed on the side of disappointment. But, man, I know this is going to sound terrible. Like, you know, how easy I'm pleased. I think I'm going to live off that.
Win has done a lot for you.
It really has. Like, I feel like you got to be fair. Like, I can be negative. I can be pessimistic. I can be all that. But, like, I can't just sit there. I'm never going to be Randy Quaid, Major League. Like, man, I don't care. They did. No, like, I'm really living off that Warriors win a lot right now. And I have a really hard time saying, well, if they go into New Orleans, they're playing this Pelicans team that's beat them five, now six straight if they were to lose. I guess part of it would be, because it's going to be layers, Jason, like, how would they lose on Friday? Do you go in and just roll over and lose by 40? Okay, I'm going to be a little more disappointed. Do they give everything they have, leave it all out on the floor, and it's just they can't beat that team, and they left it all out there? I'm going to have a really hard time thinking, oh, I'm disappointed. These guys are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's always more nuance instead of the black or white. But in the spirit of the question, I'll go to what I've been saying. Like, I think the team's goal was to advance. So this, by definition, would not be advancing. I think there's plenty of reasons. They are banged up. They're not healthy. But that's the deal. So I think in the spirit of the question, I would say yes. But I love the fact that they knocked out the Warriors. I love the fact that they got to this spot. And we'll see if they can do it. But, yeah, I think the context of the game will be kind of a big deal.
At the beginning of the season, if I were to tell you in March, Herter's going down with a season-ending injury, and then a few weeks later, Monk is going down with an injury, and then you found out all this, what would you say they would be finishing?
I think my probably
with
my,
no idea about Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I think my default answer would be, well, I think
7 or 8.
Yeah, I would say I think 3's out of the ballpark again. Yeah. Sounds like the West got better. They'll get in the playoffs, but you know it'll be 7 or 8. I think that would have been the default answer. So then I guess I think there's a difference between being disappointed and the season being disappointing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
I think that's how it would be. But you know what? In this case, I will say this. If I'm going to be disappointed anywhere, being disappointed in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and even to back your, like, let's say they get through this and get through the first round, get through the second round, and ultimately lost somewhere, like in the conference finals, they're still disappointment. Yes.
Let me take your analogy further because you're 100% right. Dude, let's say we sweep our way into the finals.
And then lost.
And we lose in game 5, 4, 5, 6, or 7. Doesn't matter when.
That would be disappointing.
Yes.
Not the season,
though. That would be, Jason, that would be crushing in the moment. All the hype and hope and all that, like, you know, the mayor announces the possible parade route and all this stuff going on. And then knowing that in some place, not here, there's going to be people wearing Sacramento Kings championship shirts and stuff. Yes, it would be crushing, but also like, oh my God, what a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are levels.
Yep.
We'll take a break. When we come back, there's levels of sports business. Kelly Brothers is on top of it. He's on the very top. He will join us next.
Joining us now on SportsSense, certified financial planner Kelly Brothers. Kelly is an advisor with CapTrust, one of the nation's largest registered investment advisors. CapTrust counts among its clients numerous pro athletes and pro sports franchises, but most importantly serves many Northern Californians through comprehensive financial planning.
Here's Kelly Brothers.
Kelly. It is quickly becoming everyone's favorite set.
Yes.
Certainly my dad's. I think my dad's an official sponsor. Yeah. Kelly Brothers joins us. Good morning, Kelly. Oh, I see Kelly's doing a...
He's got the Kings momentum going. Are we on?
Are we on? Are we? Oh,
can you hear me?
There we go. Hello. Hi.
Yeah, I got someone stopped me walking into the Kings game the other night and said, love the segment on 1140.
Yes.
I love that, especially if they said it like that. Love the segment on 1140. Yeah. Maybe it's our turkey sausage.
Dave, that's the way all your fans talk.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. How are you, buddy?
Gravely. Good, buddy. Good. How are you?
Doing good. Just a lot of high blood pressure. This Sacramento Kings team is, but my blood pressure not as high as Jontae Porter's NBA prospects are low. That is an incredibly sad and also, and I mean sad just in general. Like, he's a grown man. He knows what he's doing. But the situation, I read something where they figured out his gambling earnings because they had a record of his bets. He made $26,000 gambling. Wow. He made over $2 million in a very young NBA/G League career. And now that's gone for life.
No, it is. And he had tried to place bets. There was one I read about where they tried to do an $80,000 parlay that would have netted them about $1.1 million, but that was frozen because of unusual activity. So there was a little more upside, but it's still idiotic. And as you and I, as we all know, it's probably, I'm not saying it's rampant, but it's so traceable these days that I think the NBA will drop the hammer on any player, ref, coach, anyone who puts their toe over the line. It's going to get chopped off, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and like their hammer was pretty decisive, but then what, Calvin Ridley, was it, Dave, a year? You know, with it, some gambling. So it's going, it's happening, and I don't know what the biggest infraction is, Kelly. I guess obviously it's if you do anything in a game that you're involved in, but with the leagues all basically highlighting and supporting gambling for everyone else but their own, this is really a weird kind of dichotomy they have themselves in.
No, they are, especially when you start to add gambling to the actual screen that people are watching the game on. So it's going to get worse. I mean, I think we talked about it last week. They've let the elephant into the hospital, and now what? There's a lot of money there, but it's going to cause, your enforcement division, I hope you beef it up fourfold, I'm sure.
I was thinking about this too, and I was trying to put it in a way that sometimes analogies can help you understand the ridiculousness of a situation if the analogy itself is ridiculous. But I'm not going to use our company because they might get sensitive. So, Kelly, I'm going to use yours.
Great.
Let's just use our partners at KCRA. Let's say you're anchoring, and let's say in my world, you're doing the noon news with our good friend Lisa Gonzalez.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, there we go. Love Lisa. And it comes in, it's like, well, the news comes first. It's the noon news brought to you by Johnson's cocaine. Snort it today. And then welcome in, everybody, brought to you by Johnson's cocaine. And then like on the crawl, it's like, there's a crash on 80, also snort this pile of cocaine for only 99 cents today. And then you're done with your thing and you go to break, and it shows a commercial of like a couple that are out, they're having a good time. Hey, you want to make the time even better? Try cocaine right now. We have these amazing deals on cocaine. It shows a guy with a big pile of cocaine in front of him. You get where I'm going, right? It looks like like a baby powder sneezed on him. And then it turns out that I won't use a name. One of the weather guys had a couple of bumps before the program, and it's in KCRA's regretfully announcing that Flurk Jordorn, I just want to use real, is suspended permanently from weathering for the cocaine, which we take very seriously, and you should not do cocaining.
Interesting analogy.
Right. Like, what are we doing? Adam Silver can get all serious faced all he wants, but they're not in bed with gambling. They're making love to gambling and having gambling babies in front of our faces. And yes, there is personal responsibility, but it's a lot easier to stray to eat the Oreos when you're on a diet, when you're in an Oreo factory. And that's my rant for the day.
Yeah, and I find it amazing that you're actually describing KOVR in 1983. But anyway.
You were ready for that one.
Yeah, there we go.
No, I was an intern there. And, Steve Summers was the sports guy.
Oh, yes.
And, he had quite the history to him.
But I digress.
I've never seen Clerk Durdorn ever do a bump. But anyway, yes. I know where you're going.
Right,
I know
right.
where you're going with this.
It's ridiculous.
It is. No, it is. And they've invited it in because A, they think it's happening anyway, whether they're involved or not. And B, they see the profit motive for them and their owners and their partners. So they're inviting it in. And it's, at the same time, Pete Rose is still on the outside of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Looking in. You know, think about, think about, when you look at that or you look at NIL and the changing. The rules that seem to change overnight and change 180 degrees when suddenly new, what was once prohibited is now welcomed and applauded.
Yeah. Kelly Brothers joining us talking sports business. So Kelly, sticking at least with basketball, flipping to the women's side, Caitlin Clark, an incredible run, gets drafted number one this week. It comes out very publicly. I mean, her finances with the WNBA aren't going to be that great. That's just kind of the way the league cap and the league rules are. But Nike and Caitlin Clark reaching a deal. How's she going to do going forward financially?
Yeah, she's going to do fine. 2.5 million viewers for the draft. Best-selling draft pick card ever on Fanatics. 35,000 just watched her press conference in Indiana. And she's lucky, obviously, Indiana, very close to the state of Iowa, where her star is even brighter. It's all good news for the WNBA. It is all good news for Caitlin Clark. She's representing herself well. She killed it on Saturday Night Live. So I think she's gonna do just fine. My fear would be for the college game. And was this a Caitlin Clark story and not an ascension of all college women's basketball? But hopefully it provided enough of a spark that new stars can kind of jump into that void. But, boy, that'll be interesting. That'll be really interesting to watch how that plays out. And I think all of Indiana's games are sold out. Like, all of their nationally televised games are going to involve the Indiana Fever. So Indiana getting a real bump off Caitlin.
speaking of, I love it when the audience gets involved from the text line. I actually forgot this, going back to comparing gambling and the hypocrisy of the NBA. Dave, you forgot in your analogy, don't forget the broadcast after Kelly and Lisa, where they all come on and advise you on exactly how to do cocaine and the right ways to do it, and then, which is so true because SportsCenter, they got now it sounds funny. They have all the lines,
right?
The betting lines.
Sure.
And then what was it the other day? The one lady betting expert coming on, I forget. I think it was the NCAA tournament. She's like, this is practically free money.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to run back there, but they're right.
It reminds me of the old Irish joke about the little card in the hotel room that said, do you have troubles with alcohol, call this number. And it was the local liquor store.
Exactly.
And that's where we are with gaming.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And that is much like, look, whether it's booze, in all seriousness, that's where the analogy comes in. There's nothing funny about addiction, whether it is a cocaine or an alcohol or a sex addiction or a gambling addiction. There are all kinds of addictions. And the fact that, there's been gambling for, that's the argument.
Right.
Well, there's been gambling forever. Yeah, there's, let me tell you something. There's also been weed forever, okay? But back in my friend's day, when he would do weed, he would tell me, he would say, I do marijuana, and I would go, don't. That's a gateway. And he would have to go, okay, this is what he had to do. He had to go to Billy's house where they'd wait for some dude with long hair that loved to listen to Fish, the band, roll in and do his thing and then whatever, and then he'd leave. And it was a very clandestine type of situation. Now,
a little different.
You go online to, you know, what I don't know what the weed maps probably or something's out there. I don't know. And you go online and they're like, oh, hey, here's some gummies. Here's some vapes. Here's this. Here's pre-rolls. Here's a big sack of whatever the hell. We'll bring it to your house like DoorDash. And then people are like, I wonder why, you know, marijuana usage is up. Well, stupid. Because and again, that's not me yay or naying it. I'm saying even though something's been around a long time, it doesn't mean that you can't augment and increase the usage of something because of the periphery of things involved, Kelly. And here we are.
No, and Dave, the other thing is, because you're a parent, I'm a parent.
Yeah.
Jason's a parent. You know, parents need to parent. You know, in this world, you cannot just sit there and say, well, it's legal for you can't. You have to parent. You have to close the door. You can't be their best friend. And you know, even now, if you look at any of the stats involving social media, and your kids shouldn't be on social media when they're 11.
That's correct.
Boom. They just shouldn't.
That is correct.
And if they are, at least you know the consequences now, and you can't say you did.
I you know what? You and I both know, we all know, living in this world where you have a platform. One thing you really want to step on a third rail is suggest how people parent their kids. And I have a lot of respect for that. Everybody's got their own situation. By the way, some kids don't have both parents. Some kids don't have one. You know, everyone's got a different road to walk.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
I will say personally, as somebody who literally has been named multi times Sacramento's Tweeter of the Year, and I say that to underline the addiction I have to social media, my little girl lost her cell phone from 14 to 16. Because we had one rule, no social media. You do not open an account. You don't do any of that. No Instagram, no TikTok, none of that crap. There is no positive that I have yet to have a parent say to me that any positive about having your child on social media, but Kelly, it's out there. You can't take the toothpaste out of the tube.
Right. No, my son had a great line when one year I was named Father of the Year by a local group. And he said, is that based on quantity, Dad? Thank you, son. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to commend you for your piece on the A's. I thought it was thoughtful. You know, the one thing I'll just point out, well, first of all, the complete and utter dysfunction of Oakland. I mean, that is a disgrace. They lost three professional sports teams and their only In-N-Out Burger in a 10-year period, which is, I mean, to think, I don't know, once you lose the Warriors and then the Raiders leave, you would think you'd do everything you could. But and the other thing I would just point out is, you know, we have short memories. If you go back 2 years and you ask Sacramento fans who's the worst owner in sports, if you go purely by futility, it would have been Vivek Ranadive. If you go back 2 years, the team that had not been to the playoffs in the longest time period in professional sports was the Sacramento Kings. And look, in 2 years, that has turned around in a significant way, and he's bringing a pro sports team, another one, to Sacramento, even for a limited time. So, you know, I think the other piece is that I don't think the A's ownership is anything to trumpet or celebrate, but Fisher, you're not going to get a well-run sports franchise. They are firmly ensconced where they are. They have good relationships. You're going to get the shakings of the bag, as my dad used to say.
The leavings.
So, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, but great piece, Dave. Well done.
I appreciate that. Not everybody's going to agree, and they don't need to. I've been asked to speak my mind. That's my mind. But one thing I don't want to do is I'm not going to shame any Sacramentans for being excited about baseball. It's just not the way I want it, Kelly. But again, that's just me being overdramatic probably. So
final fact for you before I let you go, because I know you got to go. Ted Scott is now 54th on the PGA money list. He is Scotty Scheffler's caddy.
Good work.
And because of the year Scotty's had, he's over $1.2 million. He's made more money this year than Ricky Fowler.
Wow. Good work if you can get it.
Yeah, really. Except that's got to get, you know, like the Texas Open in July or whatever.
Yeah. Hey. Getting paid for it.
You got to carry stuff.
Yeah.
You got to remember, like, the players.
You got to carry stuff.
Yeah, you do. You have to carry all this crap.
Yeah.
Why don't they let caddies have the little rolly carts? Maybe not a real cart, but why can't they have the little thing you roll? What advantage is that?
But here's a question for you. What percentage of PGA golfers, what percentage of them, their Christmas card picture is from the par three contest at the Masters?
Oh, God, I would say yes.
It's got to be over 50%.
Yeah. I think Jack Nicklaus is one for the rest of his life is going to be when his grandson hit that home. I'm going to go, you know, and by the way, you know, you have PGA and LIV Golf Tour. I think we should start a third golf tour where the players are required to carry their own bags.
There you go.
And then it's a sport.
Yeah.
Now it's an actual sport. All right.
Or you play the game we played when we were younger, and that was the Budweiser Open where you got an extra shot for every beer you had during the round.
Oh, my God.
I mean, John Daly would be.
He would thrive.
Win the Grand Slam.
1,000,000,000%. Kelly, always great talking to you.
Thanks, we're Kelly. Late.
Good to see you guys.
All right, great talk. Take care. That's Kelly Brothers. We'll take a break when we come back. Speaking of sports business, Caitlin Clark gets her shoe deal, but it's deeper than that. Let's talk a little bit about that before we get to Sam Amick, the Sacramento Kings, and his awards. We'll see if we can't pick his brain on that since he votes at 8 a.m. We're all back with that right after this.
Best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Is that just me or did I just hear the telltale bink of somebody logging in?
I entered.
Oh, you're in the...
I'm doing some testing for tomorrow's show.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Before we...
Okay. Is that annoying, Chris?
There we go. Before we get to Caitlin Clark... You know, one cool thing about doing a job in this town where you've done it a long time is you get regular listeners, which is great. And sometimes you get regular listeners that, not that our listeners don't know things, but sometimes you get people that are actually experts in the field. So during the break, I'm hearing a reverb, by the way.
I know, that's me.
That's all right. During the break, I got a text from somebody in the business of sports. And I'm just going to present this as a counter, you know, the analogy we made with Kelly Brothers about, you know, how sports are so in bed with gambling. And this person sent me the following on sports gambling. Number one, sports gambling is already here and legalized by the courts. It's legal. The NCAA, along with baseball, basketball, and football professional, were involved and were party suing to prohibit sports betting. It was made legal. Number two, with league partnerships, players get half the revenue per the CBA. I didn't know that. Players get half the revenue per the CBA, so they are benefiting from these partnerships as well, not just the owners. And sports betting is there regardless of the league partnerships. Legal betting actually helps trace and reduce potential player involvement. And I think the point there is rather than the bookie down the street that we talked about,
right.
It's documented, it's there, you know, and this is largely how the Shohei Ohtani situation came to light and now the Jontay Porter thing. Now, of course, the immediate counter we all have is, well, okay, but doesn't it stand to be for every Jontay Porter and Shohei Ohtani interpreter, there's 70 other guys, I don't know what the number is, that haven't been caught that I don't know the answer to that, but that would be one of the counters from somebody in the business saying, hey, it's here. It's going to happen. These people are betting on players. This is an opportunity for, A, the players to benefit from it financially in a legal way, and also for us to be able to track and regulate, which I would also offer kind of branches over to a lot of people's, like, for example, the not to get too crazy, but the legalization of marijuana, one of the biggest pro arguments there for a long time is, hey, let's legalize it and regulate it. Let's get tax money off of it. It's happening no matter what. Toothpaste is out of the tube. So again, I'm not advocating for that, but I think it's fair to present that side.
Sure.
Caitlin Clark. She is going to MC. He's consistent. I love him. What else is documented? What else are they keeping track of? I don't know, dude. I kind of think this.
Yeah.
We all have cameras in our house now. Everyone's listening. You're all naked on the web somewhere. Just get over it. It's happy. Yeah, Jason, you too, pal. There's a video of me singing to my dogs by myself somewhere.
They've seen my baby nails.
Not my baby nails.
We have Sam coming up. What do I want to do with this? We went late with Kelly. I really want to have this Caitlin Clark conversation, but it's too important to have in 30 seconds. I'll say this. She signed, reportedly, according to Shams Charania, signed a deal with Nike. Terms aren't out yet. The whispers are it's about $40 million, somewhere in the range of $30, $40 million. I don't know the years on that, but obviously the way the salaries are right now, considering she's going to be making somewhere in the $70,000 to $80,000 range for playing for the Indiana Fever next year. That's her WNBA salary. She is going to make more in the shoe deal than she will ever make playing basketball actually on the floor. Good for her.
Yeah.
But it does set up a conversation that we'll either push till later in the show or beyond, which is, but hold on. What about, why is she getting all of this? Where's one of the South Carolina players' shoe deal? They just beat them in the finals or in the championship. Where's Asia Wilson's giant shoe deal, the two-time MVP, finals MVP, champion? Where's hers? Why Diane Taurasi is arguably the greatest women's player, ever. She certainly has endorsements. Nothing like that. Sabrina Ionescu, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there's a conversation to be had there. Now, Jason, this conversation has become a third rail. This is a highly, highly charged subject that involves pay inequity, gender inequity, racial overtones, racial undertones. Like, there's all the lava pits here. So if we do have the conversation, I'd like to do it in the way that we try to do it, which is admit who we are, admit who we are not, present questions, and be educated if we miss something. You know, I think the big problem is a lot of people come in and go, this is how it is, and you're stupid, and hot take, and then,
always healthy.
That's always super healthy. I just want to honestly have a conversation because I think a certain way, and I want to know, you know, it's never going to have 100% agreement, but I'd like to hear, just kind of like the sports betting thing where we got that text, I'd like to hear other things and share. I think that's the way these things should go. So we'll try to do that at some point today. In the meantime, we got to get to Sam Amick. And we also, all of us need to get down to Hoblet because right now it is Ram Truck Month. The seasons are a-changing. Pretty soon it'll be Jason's favorite weather, 110 and gloppy. It's gloppy. Don't answer that. And people are going to be out and about. Just imagine rolling around in your Ram truck with your wife and kids, husband and kids in the car, in the truck, loaded up with your boat, your RV, your canoes, your cooler. And you're driving off into the wilderness to reconnect and get rid of electronics and become one with nature. And you're driving around on the streets looking at all the other little cars going, look at you little cars. Hoblet's going to help you out. They're 75 years in business. They understand how to help you out. They can find you that hard to find HD Ram you've been looking for. And they can find it for less right now. Save up to $8,000 off MSRP on new 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cabs. With California's biggest selection of Ram trucks, you're sure to find the truck you need. So come experience the difference at California's number one Ram truck dealer. Search, select, and save through their whole inventory at HobletDodge.com. Unbeatable prices, unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet. Period. We'll take a break. Sam Amick, next.